You've been taught that the birthplace of the human race is Earth, but it's not.
Do you know what this will do to people when they find out the truth?
I don't think that most people would want to know the truth.
I do.
Your planet was seeded by Brass Axe Industries roughly 100,000 years ago.
It's one of the most powerful dynasties in the universe. There are three primary heirs. The oldest is Belem. He's the one that controls this planet and wants you dead.
I'm telling you, I'm nobody.
You are royalty.
Hi everybody, it's Bina 007 back for a 10-minute spoiler-free movie review of the Wachowski siblings' new extravaganza, Jupiter Ascending, which is kind of like a sci-fi space opera, just madness. It's full of crazy visuals, characters who are outlandish to the point that you're laughing at them, not respecting them or laughing with them. And the whole movie is just a mess. You can sort of watch the first half of it as a really interesting sort of visual exercise, but after that it just gets really boring, and I just was waiting for the film to end, which was such a shame because, you know, these are the guys who gave us The Matrix and pretty much changed the face of cinema, but sadly no longer. So what is this movie about? I mean, sweet tap dancing Christ, just where do I begin? I think the way to look at this is, if you give it the benefit of the doubt, it's a really good satire on modern consumer capitalism, and in particular the vanity of the Hollywood bubble. So we have this race of space aliens who basically have found the source of eternal youth, and that is to basically grow human beings in farms, of which the Earth is one, and to milk their youth juice and drink it and so become eternally beautiful and live for thousands and thousands of elf-like years. And this galactic corporation is run by an absolutely bunch of batshit crazy siblings, two brothers and a sister, and they have realized, and bear with me, that on Earth, one of these humans has the exact DNA of their mother, which I'm pretty sure isn't possible, but anyways. So they all want to capture her, and basically because they can prove that she's their mother, kind of, she can then claim the inheritance they've been milking and then run the corporation for them, or they can kill her and run it and use their inheritance of, oh my goodness. This is all about as interesting as Star Wars having its a sort of origins in a tax dispute. Who cares? So basically you have three megalomaniac siblings, very Byzantine in their dress and carry on, and this one poor little earthling girl called Jupiter, bizarrely, played by Mila Kunis. So she's sitting around being a cleaner and all kind of like grungy, and she is rescued by Channing Tatum, who plays, and yes, it gets crazier, a kind of half-human, half-wolf, space police kind of guy. And he is assisted by his mate, who's played by Sean Bean, and no, he does not die in the first reel of this film. And he's kind of a human slash bee, which leads us to one of the most ludicrous scenes in the entire film, where, you know, Mila Kunis's character wanders up to Sean Bean's house and it's surrounded by bees, and they all kind of like are deferential towards her because bees can sense royalty, I kid you not. Anyways, so there are some shenanigans on Earth and some wicked sort of space chase kind of cool scenes of action. And of course Mila Kunis falls for Channing Tatum's character because he's all buff and gorgeous. And then they go into space and things get even more Byzantine. And the basic plot seems to be that there's a love story. Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum, who can love cross the class divide. She a princess and, sorry, a queen, and he a mere sort of half-breed wolf man thing. And then there's the sort of rivalry between the three siblings, of whom, and it's a high benchmark, the craziest is the elder, who is played by Eddie Redmayne, who, as you know, everybody is in love with, right? Because he plays Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything, and he's just such an amazing actor. Well, Jupiter Ascending proves that even the best actor, when directed badly with a hammy script, can just be laughable, and I mean laughing at. He plays the evil baddie megalomaniac, kind of like Dr. Frankenfurter, It's just such a camp, bizarre performance where half the time he's sort of whispering, like Christian Bale in Batman. I'm not entirely sure what's up with these British actors who feel that whispering is somehow like fearful and evil. And then the other half, he's just losing it and shouting and being really scary. Not. I mean, thank God he had banged through everything before that performance hit the screens, because otherwise his career would have been dead. And I mean, John Carter from Mars dead. Yeah, the movie just kind of ravels on from there, and what do I know? I think it's pretty hard to spoil. Who knows what's actually going on? Oh, but I forgot to tell you that in the midst of all this sort of Baroque space opera craziness, you have this bizarre scene where Jupiter, who's kind of masquerading as the evil megalomaniac's mum to get their inheritance, is going through this bizarre bureaucracy that just feels like something out of Beetlejuice or a Terry Gilliam movie. And it's all kind of steampunk bureaucrats with seals and all this craziness. And then suddenly you think, oh my God, just a minute, isn't that Terry Gilliam? And yes, the Wachowski siblings have managed to get Terry Gilliam to do a cameo in their own inner segment of this film that is an homage to Brazil and to Beetlejuice, which is kind of cool, but it is not a good enough reason to see this film. I think the point about this film is that on one level, I guess you could watch it as a so bad it's good film. I found it far too boring for that. And what's really sad and depressing is, and I'm not sure if this is spoof or whether they're serious, is this concept that Mila Kunis's character Jupiter is just this sad little pathetic girly little girl who needs to be rescued by big buff men all the time. And I just thought this was a damsel in distress trope that we had moved beyond. I mean, not just even with Shrek and Frozen, but frankly with Alien. So it's just disappointing to see that still in the film. And I'm sure the Wachowskis would say it's something that they're spoofing lovingly in the way that they are these other tropes that we see in there. But I'm not so sure, because it's so at the heart and in the DNA of this film. Overall, then, Jupiter Ascending, a lot of fuss about nothing. It's CGI gone crazy. It reminds me in a way of that middle trilogy of Star Wars films that was just in love with the process of creating and had no heart and had no story to hold on to. And, you know, I'm just super pleased that Mila and Kunis, Channing Tatum and now Eddie Redmayne are respected enough actors that they're going to survive this craziness. As for the Wachowski brothers, you guys made The Matrix, the original Matrix I'm talking about. What have they done for us since? Yeah, it's a tricky question, huh? Anyway, if you've seen Jupiter Ascending and have lived to tell the tale, feel free to leave a comment on the blog at Bina007. Otherwise, thank you for listening.
When the exact same genes reappear in the exact same order, it is what you call reincarnation.
Her Majesty's life has got to change, if she wants it to.
I'm still the same me.
Right now, Balem owns the title to Earth. Once you claim it, the Earth will belong to you.
I will harvest that planet tomorrow before I let her take it from me.
Have you ever seen a harvest?
Never. But I've heard they feel no pain.